Hello, 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 hello. Is this working, y'all? Can you hear it? Now it is. It's good. It's good, Tiff. I'm flashing up here. What a beautiful day we have had. Is it not wonderful? Thank God for the warm weather, and I just pray that it will stick around for a while. Okay, let's bow our heads, please. Focus on our worship. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Feel the presence of Jesus. Lord, as we come together tonight to worship you, we pray that our worship would be pleasing unto you. We pray that the words that are spoken tonight would be inspired by you, and that you would speak through Paul to someone in this room tonight that needs to hear the message he's bringing. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor of coming before you to bow humbly at your feet and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace and your forgiveness and your love. And we come here tonight to worship you. Amen. Okay, let's stand and sing. Come, now is the time to worship. have several visitors with us tonight, and we'd like to say welcome to you, and we hope that you would join us again. Special visitors in the house tonight are Ted Hetfield's parents. They're sitting in behind the Mosleys. If you guys would give them a special welcome after the service, okay? And then Paul brought all sorts of friends back there. One of them is a member that we never see anymore. But we love him anyway. Okay. Do we have any praise reports? Any prayer requests? Lauren? I can hardly see out there tonight for some reason. Anybody else? Charlton Kratz is still on. He's been on the prayer list. Sophomore with leukemia. I'm sorry? Will? Oh, yeah. The Will Warren family. There was. He was killed in a car accident early this week. He was the same age as John and Paul, I believe. He was in Paul's grade. Okay, so, yeah, because you graduated, Jordan. He was a year ahead of John, so he graduated when Paul did from Ravenwood. He was in a car accident this weekend and was killed. Anybody else? Nikki? Nikki's family. Nikki's mom's not doing well. And, of course, that's hard on Nikki and her dad, too. So keep the whole family in your prayer. Alicia Mott. We put her on the prayer list. So she's another sophomore at Ravenwood that has leukemia. Brentwood, I'm sorry. No, but still, another young person. As I said last week, all these young people losing their life so early is just, it's breaking my heart. And I know that God has a plan. But it is just not, it's not been an easy year for these kids, all their friends and their families. So, Heather? Anyone else? Okay. Melanie? Yeah. The Rippey family. Yeah. The Rippey family and the loss of John's dad. Okay. Keep Ronnie's job in our prayers. Or Ronnie's look for a job. Yeah. Ronnie's need for a job in our prayers. Okay, Melanie. Okay. Yeah. My stepmother called last night, and her sister passed away. So keep the Toll family in your prayers. Matthew? Okay. Andrew, were you raising your hand? Or okay. Like I said, for some reason I can't see out there tonight. Okay. Okay, if there's no more, let's bow our heads in prayer. Dearest Lord, we come before you tonight. Our hearts are heavy with the loss of loved ones, with the sickness of the people around us and the people that we care for, the loss of jobs. Lord, it seems sometimes that there's nothing but sadness and pain and hurt in the world right now. but we know that through you all things are made new. And that if we focus on you and if we seek to be more like you, that you will prosper us and you will protect us. And that doesn't mean that we won't go through hard times, but that means that through those hard times, you will draw us closer to you. And we thank you for that. Lord, we lift up these people that were mentioned in prayer tonight. Shep Case's family, the Riggs family, the Patton family, the Rippey family, the Warren family, the Toll family, Harvey, Patsy, and Nikki Nairn, Melanie Stout's brother, Scott Alexander, Ronnie. Lord, you know each one of these people better than any of us know them. You know their needs better than any of us know them. And you know that the blessings and the comfort that you're going to bring to their life. Help us, Lord, to be patient and to wait on your time for those blessings. In the meantime, strengthen us and comfort us and help us to continue praising you and giving you the glory for all things. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's sing some more. If you're able, let's stand and sing.
Can I just mention something real quick as we're about to sing Indescribable? This is one of my favorite songs. But I was reminding Ted tonight as we were eating. I remember last year when we had this pot roast meal that Tommy prepared, and I know it sounds silly, but last year whenever we had that meal was a Wednesday night. I couldn't make it because I was so sick. I was so very weak and couldn't lift my head off the pillow that night. And I actually called Debbie Hatfield earlier that day, and I said, I need you to come. I don't know if I need to go to the emergency room or what, but I just can't function right now. I mean, I remember how hard it was for me to dial her telephone number on the phone and lift it to my ear. I was that weak. And Tommy sent me a plate of food through Debbie that night. And I remember saying to myself, Lord, I know this is healing food sent from heaven. I know that sounds silly, but to me it was everything because I couldn't eat very much and it was just a whole complicated thing. But I was at death's door this time last year, and I am here to testify that God is a healing God. He is awesome, and he still does miracles. And having that meal tonight reminded me of just how truly great and amazing he is. And I'm just so glad to be here and be back with full strength and a new baby to show for it. From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the kindness of to the fragrance of thank you.
believe God is a God of wonders. My favorite part, people will say, you know, they'll say, well, God did this, and that's amazing, and God did that, and that's amazing. To me, the most amazing thing is that we can't put our head completely around God, really, at all. If you ever meet somebody who has done that, run. Okay? Something wrong with them. So, anyway, let's sing to it.
The Bible tells us that, as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We can imagine, we can try to understand what's going to be in heaven when we meet God, but the Bible tells us that we cannot even imagine.
Has in store for us, and not just that, but who he is, and
all the awesome things that He does, all the awesome things that He is. I just want to all of us take a moment and just reflect on that. Just think about those mind-blowing attributes that God has. I mean, we literally can't even conceive of it. We can't imagine. And yet, in our finite minds, God does give us the ability to try. And He does give us a glimpse of who He is and His glory. And that's such an awesome thing. It is awesome to think about how He's with us now. He promises He'll never leave us or forsake us. No matter what our problems are, no matter what circumstances we're walking through, you can be in the lowest valley right now and He's still with you. You can be on the highest mountaintop and He's still with you. The Bible tells us that even if we were to descend into the depths of Hades, He's still there with us, amazingly. Let's just take a moment and just silently reflect on His glory. To you how much we need you and how much we appreciate your being here with us. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you into this place. Lord, we pray that you would anoint our service. We pray that you would anoint Paul's words as he comes and speaks. Lord, just let him be an instrument of you, that he would truly bring your message and that you would speak through him, Lord. I know that's what he wants. And God, just whatever the needs are tonight, I know that there are many. I know that there are some heavy hearts in here tonight. Lord, I just pray that you would lift them up. Lord, I know that you want them to succeed. I know that you want them to be able to dance joyfully before you once again. Lord, I pray that you would heal the wounded heart and the broken spirit. Your word tells us that you won't snuff out a glowing reed. Lord, that you would allow it to continue to burn. You're not going to break them completely. And Lord, that's just such an awesome thing to know that even in our lowest moments, you're not going to kick us down. You're there to lift us up. We praise you for all that you are. Truly indescribable. And truly unimaginable. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated.
Frankie. We changed our mind. I don't know how many of you have ever battled the music business. Anybody? Anybody ever battled Music Row or tried to pitch a song? Nobody, just me. It's a bear, I'll tell you that. And those people on Music Row, for the most part, are focusing solely on themselves. That's what makes it tough, because they say they want to be your buddy and help you out, and really they don't. If you can help them get there, they'll help you. you know, that kind of thing. But the first, I've never heard another song, Why Should I Fear Man When You Made the Heavens? I've sung hundreds of songs, I never heard one address that part of our life. Sometimes we go up against people, you know, and we're afraid to say, speak up, or we're afraid to be bold or whatever. And this song says, you know, we don't, you know, that's pretty much what it says as far as that goes. Because not only should we take our focus off these other people, but we should take the focus off ourselves as well. So, anyway, let's put it back where it belongs. Why should I fear man when you made the heavens? Why should I be afraid when you put the stars in place? Why should I lose heart when I know how great you are? Why should I give up when your plans are full of love? In this world we will have trouble, but you have overcome the world. You shine brighter than the brightest star.
Paul Tucker.
All right. First, I'm going to ask a favor. I really don't like that we've kind of shifted so far back here. I'm glad the lights are on, but can I just, if you guys feel like it, can you please just come forward? My friends, you, maybe. Mom, I know you like the back row. Could you come forward, please? I want to feel like I'm talking to some friends here. I'm not sitting up here just... Dude, appreciate that, guys. I'm glad. Thanks, John. We keep shifting. I don't like it. At least for me, I'm speaking. So. Nah. Well, I'm sorry, but maybe it'll be quick. Cool. All right. Well, through tonight, I think I was going to say a prayer, but that prayer that Amanda prayed was wonderful. I don't think I can improve upon that. That was great. God's here, definitely. Tonight I'm going to talk about spiritual health. Spiritual health. I think I'm talking about that because that's something that everybody deals with, and everybody's going to have to deal with it at some point in their life. Because when you become a Christian, it doesn't mean it's smooth sailing. It means that there's going to be some peaks and there's going to be some valleys. But I guess what I'm going to talk about tonight is just try to help you kind of level out those valleys, you know, and just make sure that we're all moving and growing in our walk with Christ, because it's so important. And so first I want you to all think back, maybe close your eyes if you want to, think back to when either a time in your life, maybe it was when you first decided to say yes to Christ, or maybe it was just, you know, you just had a really uplifting time, but when did you feel so close to God? When I think back, I know not everyone experienced it, but at least for me, that mission trip a year ago. When I look back, I see just how everyone was just so pumped and just so happy to be alive and everything, and because we were so close. And then I come to now, and I still feel that, but I have to sense that, in a way, it's sort of diminished a little bit, which is going to happen, because we're here in this world now. And the thing about the world is, me and my roommate Levi, we always talk about how the way the world can bring you down. It brings you down all the time. I mean, there's no way around it. I don't, it's just going to happen because we're here now and not in heaven where we should be and where we will be at one point. But anyway, going back to that passion I was talking about, I believe it's that closeness, that desire, and that passion for connecting with Jesus on that daily basis that really kind of indicates your spiritual health. It's not so much coming to church. It's not so much coming to, you know, church events that we have, because you can come to church and still be far, far away from where you need to be or where God would like you to be. I mean, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying those are bad things, because you know, church is where we're all together. Church is where we can build each other up. But, you know, your relationship with God is just that. It's a relationship. And I guess going back to what I'm also talking about is, like, some of the youth and other people may know, like, I'm talking about that camp high you have, you know, or that retreat high. I know, Travis, me and you talked about that on this retreat we passed at. We were just so pumped, and you're like, I love this, but I just know it's going to fade. And I heard that, and yet I still really even didn't get that then. That's awful. I hate that. I hate that you just go into it being like, yes, it's so great, but just knowing that you're already sound defeated, you know? That's not how it should be. Biblically, I kind of compare this to maybe the Israelites' exile to Egypt, and when Moses came and rescued them, and pulled them out. I can just imagine that when they went and passed over the Red Sea or on their way out, they were just super high. They were just praising God. They were just really happy. Of course, then they get to the desert. Things start going the same way. Start grumbling, and before they know it, they're wandering for 40 years. I don't know. That's just kind of what I see with that. And the thing about it is, when we get beat down like this, that's when sin starts to creep back into your life. Maybe those old habits that you were getting rid of, that you pledged, you know, this is going to be in, they start reappearing. And I can tell you that from personal experience, that's the case with me. When I get in a spiritual rut, it's almost like you let your guard down, or it's like you, I don't know what exactly it is, but it's bound to happen. You kind of get bored, I guess. Maybe you seek things of the world to fill you up when the only thing that can is Jesus. And it's like you hear that and you know that, but yet it doesn't sink in for some reason. And I guess just some more examples to kind of say, how do you know you're in that spiritual rut? This is I kind of came up with a few different points to kind of like point out like what I'm talking about, I guess, and point out maybe things you can ask yourself. The first one is loss of passion, and that's for God firstly, and that can be for learning about Him, that can be for talking with Him, for caring what His plan for your life is. I mean, you just kind of say, all right, God's here, He's been here, I know about Him, I'm a Christian, I believe in Christ, but you know, God has His place in my life, and that's where it is. You kind of confine Him to that. You don't have that burning desire to just go for Him with all you have. And then also a loss of passion for your fellow believers. Here at church, we're a family. The people around us in our community and in the world, our fellow Christians, we're a family. And too many times we go and we come and hang out and we have a good time, which is great. But we have to look and realize that, you know what, we're friends, but we're more than friends. We're brothers and sisters here. I mean, Christianity is about community. It's about a sense of just a group of people, you know, going against the world, going against what everyone will tell you, what the world has to offer, and saying that, you know what, we're gonna come together and we're gonna trust in Jesus. We're gonna go for it. Maybe there's loss of meaningful prayer in your life. I know when I was in high school, I definitely did not have a good prayer life. I mean, I prayed here and there, but it's nothing where it should have been. It's only now that I'm coming more and more alive into it. And I even still, there are days when I'm just like, all right, God, thank you for my life, and I'll talk to you later. So, I mean, I think we all have that. But then I know I start to feel guilty, and so I'm like, all right, I'll force it some more. You know, I'll say, all right, I'm going to try this, but I can tell that, you know, I'm kind of being maybe insincere, and that the Lord, it's almost like I hear the Lord saying, look, what are you doing? I can hear you speaking these words to me, but are you kidding? That's not what I want. Or maybe you don't pray. Maybe there's no prayer in your life. And then finally, which has come up a lot in the songs we played tonight, there's maybe a loss of that awe for God, a loss of that just realization that, you know, we're living in a world created by just the one and only God, and just the amazing things around that. Me and my friend John, which Miss Pam introduced, and we saw, man, when we go out and we're out in the woods, man, I can tell you that awe is there. We have that. You know, too many times we go out and we forget that, you know, we're living in this amazing, you know, place that God's designed for us. We, you know, there's good in here. God is around us, and we just lose that awe. And another thing is, I guess we talked about in Sunday school a little bit, the God sightings. You know, we kind of went away from that, but that was so cool because it let us recognize, hey, you know, the Lord's around us. The Lord is alive and doing well, you know. We hear about all the bad stuff, but there's some good out there. And another thing I wrote down was, God's no longer mysterious to you. And I'm not really even sure how to describe. I don't know why I wrote it, really. I mean, I'm not really sure how to describe that other than that God, every day, God is just something new. That, you know, the weeks and the months, they're just something new with the Lord. You know, you can't just put Him in this box. You know, and when you start doing that, you lose it. And that can show up in our worship a lot. You know, we kind of stand in the back or stand wherever we are and just kind of, you know, and we sing a little bit, but we're not really into it. And so I guess what I started to think about and pray about and go to the scripture in was, all right, how can we beat this? How can we make these ruts in our life, the spiritual ruts, kind of level out? Because they're going to come, they're going to happen, you know. But it's time to just do something about it. It's time not to just sit there and wallow in it, you know. Great spiritual leaders are going to come in our life, and they're going to go. But your faith with God shouldn't depend on these people. You know, our walk is more than that, and it shouldn't depend on just what the feeling you get from your peers around you. I mean, if there's you need to overcome it, I guess. So I got five steps here, five things I thought about that maybe can help, and I hope can help, and then I'm going to work hard with myself and with people around me, people at my school, people, you know, you guys here, youth, anybody else in the church, to try to help myself, I guess, and everybody. I guess the first thing to do is you look at yourself and you say, you just have to admit to yourself, you know, I'm not where I want to be. I've tried going somewhere else. I've tried changing stuff up, but I'm just not where I want to be. Don't remain in that state of just delusion, I guess, or confusion, or just, you know, just, I guess, wallowing around. If you know you're not where you need to be, admit it to yourself. Admit it to God. It's time for a change. And after you do that, I think maybe a good idea would be to go to someone you respect and trust and tell them and say, look, I'm not where I should be. I'd like to change. I'd like to get, you know, we gotta mix it up a little bit here. You know, we gotta jumpstart this. In chapter 11 of Luke, Jesus says that if you're worried about your sin, he's talking to the Pharisees here, and those are like just the group of people who, I guess, kind of valued more outward looks about being religious and not really the inner purity that Jesus came to talk about. And he said, look, if you're going to change your evil ways, or if you're going to really truly be servants of God, you got to change the inside first. You're not going to change any bad habits by hanging out by just trying to stop on the outside. You got to work on your heart. So first step, admit it. Admit to yourself that you're not where you're going to be. Tell somebody, tell God, and get things moving. The second thing is all about you talking to God, prayer. You need to try to develop consistent daily quiet time with God. I struggle with this all the time. I mean, in school, I'd wait and let my schedule kind of sort itself out, and then be like, okay, you know, I'm going to wait, and then something would come up, and I'd, all right, well, I have to put this for you know, a lab or something else here, and I didn't really develop a good consistent daily quiet time. Well, recently I've decided that I got to get back to that, and so I've found that. A lot of times location helps. You know, you got to put yourself in a mood to be with the Holy God. Just like with this message, I knew I couldn't work on it at school because for a variety of reasons. I got some awesome friends. I got an Xbox, which I'm unfortunately really like. You know, I got probably should be studying, but anyway. Anyway, it's hard. So I came here before we left for the concert, and I just said, you know, I'm gonna knock it out. I'm gonna do it, and it really helped me. I just sat here and prayed. Katie came with me. We just prayed. She read. She listened to the sermon. It was just a good time, you know. So location helps. Timing helps. You know, don't do it in the morning if you're just, you know, you wake up and you just don't know where you are. I mean, you know. yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, see, the mornings are rough for me. I'm a morning person, but it takes me a little while. And then finally, set yourself a doable goal. Don't say, I know personally, I can't say, I'm going to spend an hour praying to God every day. That's not realistic. I mean, maybe broken up throughout the day, because I try to pray often and as much as I can, but, you know, I can't sit there and block off an hour of my time. You know, right now. Hopefully, I mean, maybe one day that would be wonderful, but that's just how it is. So set yourself a doable amount and just go from there. Relationships are built by spending time with each other, and the same is true with God. Jesus, he was constantly going to God in prayer. He'd spend time with his people and all the masses who were coming to learn from him, but then he'd often go off to himself and pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 says, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. I think he's talking about just really just your mood and your mindset and your attitude. You know, I have to get away from the distractions in order to be sincere. And then in Luke chapter 11 again, Jesus is talking about praying, and he talks about praying often, praying, keep asking. Just keep asking. It doesn't matter if you pray the same thing. Just keep going. So the second thing is develop consistent daily quiet time with God. The third thing is read Scripture. Developing prayer time is about you talking to God. Well, if you want God to talk back, you probably need to read His Word. Like we heard, I can't remember if it was in Sunday school or somewhere we heard, Brandon? Well, talking about what was the giant? It was a giant text. Oh no, it was the speaker. That's what it was on the Bread's game. He said, "Hey, you've got a giant text message from God right here." I mean, that's so true. That's so true. And the thing about it is, it can be not fun. I mean, I remember when I first started, I told myself, "Hey, I'm going to read the whole Bible." And I got here somewhere in the beginning. I said, "If I have to read about another sacrifice, I'm going to lose it." You know, so you think about it. It's hard, and you got to pray about it. You got to surround yourself with the knowledge of God. You've got to surround yourself with people, your peers. Each one of you look at the people to your left and right. I mean, these are the people. You know what? It's hard to read Scripture. I mean, you got to be with these people. You got to talk with them. And this kind of goes into what I was going to say, but just talking about that sense of community that I wanted to talk about. Chapter 27, verse 17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Each one of us in this room is going to read the Bible and think different and have different thoughts about it, interpret it differently. And you know what? I would go out and say that a lot of us have, a lot of good and interesting ideas that I'll never see unless I talk to you all. You know, we have to develop some sort of Bible study or something. I've been guilty about this with my guys. I told them, "Hey, I want to do something, but I've kind of dropped the ball. I'm trying to work on that. I'm gonna do better on that because it's important. It's important. 2 days a week, tonight and Sunday school or Sunday is not enough. It's gotta be daily. It's gotta be daily." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 9 say this: "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. You must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." I love that. I love that because I look at it, and this is how I interpret it. When it says, "Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders," I think of that and I say, all right, if it says tie them to your hands, that's just saying commit them to memory so that you can't even lift your hand without remembering something that God says. Tie them to your hands. I think that says you can't do anything without first knowing that you have God's commands with you. I think that's awesome. On your doorpost and at your gate, and write them on your gate. I've kind of taken that a little literally. I'm not sure it's totally going for that, but I've got a big thing in my mirror that basically just says, "Hey, pray, stand in awe, be a man of Christ." You know, so every time I go in there, I get out of the shower, I go in there and put my contacts in, because it's not really good before that. I can look and I can see that and I can remember, hey, you know what, I've got to do it. On my computer, I'm at my computer light, well, I've got something there that says, hey, you know, stay away from evil and follow Christ always. So do what you have to. It may look a little ridiculous. I've often wondered what people who come to my bathroom the first time and look and see that in the mirror think about me, but you know what, who cares? So it's all right with me. It's a good thing. And then also, with that sense of community, we got to develop a sense of, I guess, accountability. And it's something that's not easy. It's not easy admitting to people, you know, that where you're weak at, where you need help with. But if you want to develop that consistent prayer time, or read the Bible a certain amount, or, you know, watch out for that sin that you keep falling into and you can't get out, You gotta talk to people and have people that care about you and say, "Hey, how you doing? You know, are you doing well in this?" And encouraging you, building you up, saying, "You know, you can do this. All right, we'll do it together." I think it's important to have that. So if you're one of those people asking for help, don't be afraid. And if you're one of the people who is wanting to help, it'll help you too. It'll help you too. Let's see. My last point is something that takes a little bit, but it's basically just get excited. Get excited. I mean, if you're wondering why you don't have a good attitude, well, you need to get excited. You need to surround yourself with people who are excited. You know what? Like I said, I love my friends. I have awesome friends. Look, they came here to support me. You know, that's awesome. I surround myself with people who build me up. I mean, I'll stop it, whatever. So, I'm not trying to say abandon people that you have trouble with. I'm not trying to say push them out of your life. But I'm saying there's a place for them, and there's a place for the people that you need to be with and get renewed because they love Christ and they want you to love Christ. Hebrews, let's see, where is it? The author of Hebrews warns against this in chapter 12, verse 15. It says, "Look after each other so that none of you fail to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many." I like that because I like that second part of that especially. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. That can happen. One or two bad attitudes can spread to people like wildfire, and it's going to bring down a group. It's going to bring down you. You know, you got to watch out for each other and be constantly encouraging, and spreading the love that Christ has poured out on us, and then we're to pour out on others. That's my five things. Just real quickly again, admit to yourself you want to change. You gotta start by cleaning out the inside. You gotta love God. You gotta tell God. You gotta develop a consistent daily quiet time, and consistent reading of the Scripture. Talk to people if you're gonna need help. High school, I didn't do it at all. I needed help, but also I was afraid to really go to youth group or go to church. I mean, I went to church all the time, but I didn't reach out to the youth group at all. I didn't have people. I mean, I had some good friends, but I didn't go for it. I'm telling you guys, if you want to help, get some friends to help you. Come talk to me. Come talk to anybody. I mean, we can help it and make it happen. Have that. This is your group right here. This is your people. You know, be with them. Talk with them. Build each other up, all right? You can do it. And then get excited. When you worship with all you got. It's possible. It can do it. We can do it. And then my last thing is just talking about, you know, basically, I guess, what we're supposed to do with all this. What do you do with this knowledge? What do you do with this prayer time? What do we do with this good sense of community you have? Yeah, we're helping each other, but we got to reach out also. And in Matthew, Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love God. Second is to love people. If you don't love God, I'm not sure you can wholeheartedly and truly love people the way God intended it. He said the greatest command is to love God. We have to do that first. We have to open our heart to Him, and then we can open it to everyone else. And then finally, this is just a promise Jesus made in John chapter 15. He said, "Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart with me, you can do nothing. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit." If we remain in Jesus, He'll remain in us. We can do that. He's empowering us to do that. We can do nothing without Him, but we can do everything through Christ who strengthens us. That's really all I got. I guess I'm just trying to say, come on, we can do it, you know. These ruts are going to happen, but we can get out of them. We can do it. So, that's all I have. Thanks for listening. Praise God.
Thank you, Paul. You guys really listen to what Paul said. he had some really good points there that he was making to our group. Were you getting it? Okay. Okay. We do have a great, we have a great church, a great family of believers. And on my personal heart note, we have a great youth. And sometimes we're a little bit too much like brothers and sisters, the way we talk and fight with each other. But we just have to remember, like Paul said, to love God and to love each other. And when we mess up, or when our brothers and sisters mess up, God don't look down at them and go, out of here, nothing else to do with you anymore, I'm done. God don't say that. I'm not looking at you. That is your guilty consciences. I'm not looking at you. You're on the front row going, stop looking at me. But no, we have to love people the way that God loves us. Okay, let's stand and sing, testify.
By the way, a reminder. Next Wednesday, Brother John and Brother Larry will be doing something that was written in the New Testament as an advice for the early church when pastors were praying over sick people with putting olive oil. So next Wednesday we'll have a special time of prayer for healing, and it's going to be both physical and spiritual, so it goes so well with Paul's message as well. So if you know someone who's sick and who would like to come and to have this special prayer over them, just invite. And also try to prepare for next Wednesday. Sometimes all our sicknesses, physical sicknesses, are connected to spiritual health. It's not necessarily all the time, but sometimes. So it will be a very important and a special time next Wednesday. And also, I'll ask you to pray for Brother John and for Brother Larry, so they would be prepared to have this prayer support from us. And yes, as it's said, that we always have a choice, either to be dragging our flesh and battling with it all over and over again, falling and weeping over our sins, or we can just proclaim the God's power, the God's strength, God's victory, and we can live, and the whole life of ours will be testifying of God's love. So let's just ask God to give us strength instead of being weak and sick spiritually, to be healthy and strong.
Every corner of creation lives to tell.